Welcome. I'd like to acknowledge the continuing sovereignty of all First Nations peoples right across the country. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, Friday. By gee, it comes around quick. But you know, that weekend seems to go past us just as quickly. Some great rain last night. Well, I thought it was a bit weak of the weather reporters saying, there was virtually no rain overnight. There had to be at least a half an inch of rain at my place. At close to a half inch of rain. That'd be, what, 10, 12, 12 millimetres or whatever they measure it in these days. I'm still old school, follow me. In half inches and inches of rain. But I thought it was, it just wasn't a true reading of what happened, a true report, a correct report of rainfall in some areas of Brisbane. There was a good half inch of rain fell in some areas. No question about that at all. But it was good to see, wasn't it? Great rain. Beautiful rain. Now, my guest today is Kimberly Nichols, Beyond Blues Roadshow Marketing Manager. Rhonda joins me on the phone. Rhonda, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hi, Tiger. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for your time. You've been quite busy with this national tour of
Blue Bus Tour.
Yeah,
we've been going all around Australia in our big blue bus, who we fondly refer to as Roadshow Rhonda. She's a 1980 old Bedford school bus, so she's got a lot of character. She has about a top speed of 90, so it's taken a while, but we've come about 37,000 kilometres so far.
Wow.
And we finish up in May next year, so still quite a way to go.
And what states have you covered? You're just winding up your Queensland leg.
We've been in Queensland for about the past 10 weeks. And I'm sorry if it's a little bit noisy. We're in the heart of Brisbane today and there's lots of construction work going on. We've been travelling around all parts of Queensland for the past 10 weeks and covered about 10,000 kilometres in Queensland. So we'll be heading next through parts of New South Wales and then down into Victoria to finish off the journey.
So Victoria is your last, the very last date?
It is, of the tour. It is. Yeah. So it's been a fantastic journey so far. We've been getting into loads of communities, big and small. You know, I think the smallest place we've been had a population of about 100 people and obviously the large cities as well. But it's really important to get the message out of those regional and rural communities about mental health and the importance of taking care of your mental health. So we've had a great response. Look, everywhere we go, it's quite overwhelming the number of people that want to come up and just sort of share their experience and you know, their stories of hardship, but also the hope and recovery. You know, the resilience of people in Australia, it's really heartening to see. And, you know, we're in a privileged position there to be able to, I guess, provide a bit of Beyond Blue information and guidance of where people can get help if they need it. Mm. And also just to lend an ear. Often people just want to have a chat and we're happy to do that.
That is often all people want is yep. someone to talk to, someone to sort of download some of their concerns and issues.
Yeah. Mm. It's one of the most important things you can do is to just be an ear to someone. So we always say, you know, if you're a little bit concerned about someone, you've noticed they're not quite themselves, you know, check in with them, ask if they're okay. They're really, you know, depression and anxiety are very common conditions. We know about 3 million Australians will be experiencing depression or anxiety at any one time, but half of people don't get any professional help. And there's so much help out there available. It's just a matter of guiding them to that and getting them back on track because, you know, life doesn't have to be, you know, a struggle and miserable. You know, there's a lot of people out there that want to help, that are there to help, and they want to listen. So use that.
What could be their first port of call or their first point of contact if they do have some concerns?
If they're a little bit unsure, and we also have, you know, people that might be concerned about someone else, we do have the Beyond Blue support service. So that's a 24-hour support line, and we also do web chat as well. So the support line number is 1300 224636, and that's trained mental health professionals on the other end of the line. So you can chat to them anonymously, ask any questions you might have, and they can also look up in your local area what supports might be available. If you're sort of really quite sure that no, something's not right here, we say that going to your GP is a great first step. Your GP is well equipped to help you with any kind of mental health concerns and put you on the path to recovery. So yeah, it's a difficult first step, but everybody that's come up and sort of shared their story, it's once they take that first step, they put their hand up, they say I'm not coping, it is like the weight of the world off their shoulders. They feel so much better after doing that. So yeah,
that appears to be the hardest step to take, that first one.
It is, and I think a lot of people, you know, it may be a lack of awareness. They're not really too sure what's going on, or they may think, you know, no, I've got to be stronger than this. I can get through this. You know, that sort of stoic Aussie attitude of just push through, she'll be right, mate. And also I think there's the personal stigma that people have. So if they're sort of saying, no, what's going on? I'm not like this. It's the personal stigma that's often worse than sort of any kind of perceived stigma within society. And, you know, people start opening up. Often the people they're talking to will say, oh yeah, I know someone, or, you know, my family member or my workmate or my partner, you know, everyone, I think this journey has really brought home to me that there is no community, no family left untouched by mental health conditions. Mm. So it's about getting it out in the open and talking about it as you would any other health issue.
Mm. I was going to say, would it be largely men that sort of have this attitude of, no, I don't need to go to the doctor, I'll work through it. But I know some real strong women too, you know, black fella and white fella women that are... that are equally as strong in the mind and their constitution and stuff that think along
the same
lines.
We know women can tend to be a little bit better about expressing what they're feeling, and men tend to close off a little more, which is, I guess, most strongly reflected in the suicide rate in Australia. Men represent, I think it's around 75% of all suicides. So, look, they are a big target audience for us. There's a lot of work still to be done there. But, you know, we've been visiting a lot of men's sheds around the country, and they are fabulous places, very supportive social environments for blokes of all ages. And I think it's that working shoulder to shoulder on something that, you know, people... blokes in particular feel a little bit more comfortable about sort of opening up about their personal life and what they're going through.
Mm. The bus tour, what's the objective of that? Is awareness, make contact with people?
There is an awareness raising element. We know Beyond Blue has pretty good recognition across Australia. So the bus tour is bringing sort of all of our free resources to the community. Everything's available to order online for free, but it's about getting our stuff out there into the community where people are going, chatting to them about all kinds of things, and also linking them into their local services. So we're working with the Medicare locals in each region, and it's a great opportunity for them to let the community know what mental health programs are available locally as well.
Did you make it to some of the remote communities or rural communities or First Nations peoples?
Yeah, look, we did. We've been through, we've been all through Western Australia and into a lot of Indigenous communities out there, and then through the Territory, which was just a fantastic experience. In terms of Queensland, we came into Queensland through St George and went into the Darling Downs area, and then we headed up sort of over to Mount Isa and through sort of some of the farming areas there, and then across the top through Normanton and Croydon into Cairns, and then back down the coast. So, look, we're certainly trying to reach as many people as possible. The issue is it's a really big country, Tiger. It's absolutely massive. We could keep this bus going full time for about a decade, I think, if we were to go everywhere.
Are there... considerable differences or noticeable differences with issues in the First Nations communities as opposed to mainstream?
Yeah, look, we know that the situation is that the rates of psychological distress in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people is much higher than the general population, you know, for a variety of reasons, which we have some good information on our website. We also know that the rate of suicide is you know, that the risk of suicide is about three times higher in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander population. So it's a massive issue. It's really, you know, about trying to get the message out, get the services out, and you know, make sure that we're fitting the needs that are out there and the issues that communities are facing.
Mm. How many team members are on the tour on the Big Blue Bus?
So at any one time, we generally have 2 to 3 Beyond Blue staff members. We only have the one head office, which is based out of Melbourne. So we have about 100 staff in Melbourne, and everyone sort of gets the opportunity to rotate on and off the bus, which is a wonderful opportunity to get out from behind the computer screen and the desk and get out into the community and really, you know, it just really brings home what we're working towards, which is an Australian community that understands depression and anxiety and is empowered to seek help and get back on track.
Mm-hmm. Now, the month of November is known as Movember, where there's a focus on men's health and for men to grow moustaches and stuff.
That's right.
To fundraise.
The wonderful Movember campaign. So it's a very hairy month around Australia. I think they generally have around 100,000 registered Mobros, so sprouting their top lips for the month of Movember. And funnily enough, our bus, Roadshow Rhonda, so she's been transformed to Roadshow Ron for the month of Movember. So she's sporting a nice moustache on the front of her, the front just above the headlights there. So, yeah, we really, you know, it's important. Movember's a great campaign to get men talking about their health generally. You know, it's funny what a moustache can spark in terms of, you know, community and people, you know, striking up conversations that they might not otherwise have.
Yeah, well, it's good to be able to identify the triggers that spark these conversations and discussions and awareness.
Absolutely, yeah, mm. Yeah. No, they do a great job, Movember. They've been a big supporter of Beyond Blue and also Prostate Cancer Foundation of Australia, and look forward to their continued support. So hats off to all the Mobros and the Mo Sisters out there that support the campaign.
And funds raised, some of that has been known to go to Beyond Blue to assist in
Yeah, that's right. So some of the funds raised go to help fund our support service, which I mentioned before, so our support line with trained mental health professionals, and some of our men's programs as well, which are certainly very important. So we have a great website called Man Therapy, which is it uses humour to engage men around their mental health, and there's lots of great features like mind quizzes, men's mind quizzes, and personal stories, which are always great at resonating with people. So I encourage any blokes, any of your blokes out there listening, to get onto mantherapy.org.au and check it out.
You would hear a number of stories. Are there any that sort of stick in your mind of maybe something different, something just out of the box that somebody has used to overcome some of the challenges? Is there anything that...
Yeah, look, we hear all kinds of things. Mm. And I guess that's the thing about mental health. You know, some things, everyone's individual. So what works for someone's not necessarily going to work for another person. So we've had all kinds of conversations about, you know, what works for some people. I was speaking to a woman on the Gold Coast last week, and chanting works for her. You know, she hates meditation, but the chanting, you know, really, really calms her anxiety. You know, I think it's about getting people to try, you know, a whole load of things and find what works for them. That's you know, being really proactive about their mental health and their well-being. So no, there's certainly a lot of strategies out there that you can try. But, you know, we've heard some heartbreaking stories too. I mean, there's so many communities that have been touched by suicide, and that leaves, you know, just so much devastation behind. So, you know, it's sort of working at all ends of the spectrum, really. Like, you know, if you have good mental health, think about you know, what are the protective factors that, that help you and what you can be doing in your day-to-day life to sort of, I guess, foster those and keep those going. And, you know, in the same breath, you know, if you are struggling, again, be proactive and think about what can help you, what does keep you feeling sort of healthy and well, and try and do more of that, you know. It's a very individual sort of thing.
For sure. I've got a caller on the line. Let's see who we've got. Welcome to Let's Talk. Who do we have?
Good morning, Uncle Tiger. It's Carlos Terry calling.
How are you, Terry?
Very well indeed. Now, quite a few years ago, I was in the army. I was suffering from quite a bit of depression and anxiety. And one of the things that helped me out a lot was actually 98.9. I used to listen to a lot of rock music, and I switched back to country music, which is a genre I grew up with as a kid. And talking to a psychologist, she said it's actually a diversion therapy, she said, because country music has a story in every song, and it's something you can sing along with, even if you sing badly. And you're concentrating on what the lyrics are rather than the stressors that bring on any anxiety attack or any depression.
That's interesting, because some of those country music songs are about the missus has run off with me best mate, or my dog's died, or stuff like that, you know?
Done somebody wrong.
Yeah.
But they've all got a story, yeah. And while you're thinking about the story, if it's somebody, you know, somebody else's story,
something
then,
to relate to.
Something to relate to, yeah. and it's a distractor. I think the psychologist called it distraction therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that's fantastic. That's really great to hear. We know music can, you know, a lot of people really resonate with music. We know that pets can be really beneficial. So pet-assisted therapy, getting out in the great outdoors, you know. We know that green spaces and parkland are really beneficial for people's mental health. So there really are. There are so many things that that can assist people in their sense of well-being. So music, that's a great one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what I used to do was I was driving road trains, and I would just have the music up really loud, and I could just sing along with it and sing badly and get all the words wrong. But it was great. It was a good release to be able to get that tension out. And obviously, I can't do that now driving limos and buses, but singing. But I can still have the music on, and I can talk about it and things like that. So
good one, mate.
That's wonderful.
When I retire, I hope to do some work with a men's shed somewhere and help other people.
Very
absolutely
good.
And there's a website that you can go to. It's the men's shed website, which has a directory of all the sheds located around Australia. I think there's over 1,000 of them now, so there should be one in stone's throw, hopefully, of where you are.
Very good. Wonderful. Thanks for your call.
Right. Thank you very much for your work.
Good on you, Terry.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Terry. Bye now. Have a good one.
Bye, Terry.
Yes. That's an interesting
one.
The bus
is around Brisbane for the next couple of weeks, so we do encourage people to come out and see us. All of the stops are on our website, which is beyondblue.org.au /take-one-step, so you'll find the bus schedule there. But, for example, we're heading this morning to the Prince Charles Hospital for a barbecue from 11 till 2, and we'll be at the Launton Pine Rivers Neighbourhood Centre on Monday, Chermside on Tuesday. We're off to Stradbroke Island on Wednesday. Next week we're in Waterford West and Kingston. So lots of opportunities, hopefully, for people to come out and have a chat and pick up some free resources.
Very good. You've got your chairperson, Jeff Kennett.
Jeff Kennett, yes. So we're just in Brisbane this morning. He's been addressing a crowd of about 200 business people, so whether they be sort of managers or leaders or owner operators, that sort of thing, around the benefits of creating mentally healthy workplaces. You know, there's about 11 million Australians in employment, and you know, of those people, you know, they spend a vast portion of their sort of waking hours in the workplace. So it's a great way to reach people, and it's an important, it can be an important place to sort of open up that discussion around mental health and keeping well.
What are some of the things that might, some of the changes that might help create a mentally healthy workplace?
Well, it's really about strong leadership, and particularly from the top. So you want your boss to be aware of mental health and what some of the risk factors in a workplace might be. We know that sort of where a worker might not have a whole lot of job control, that can be quite frustrating and stressful, and not have much input into sort of, I guess, the decision making side of things. Right down to the very, you know, there are improvements that can be quite minor, but that can actually have a real flow on effect, you know, such as having a fruit bowl out or having some kind of, you know, a social group and exercise programs during lunchtime, and just trying to be a little bit flexible, I guess, with your workplace, and the benefits are proven. You know, we know that that there'll be greater productivity, there might be less absenteeism, I think it's about to really turn the tide in Australia. We've focused for so long on occupational health and safety and the physical aspects, but we know that not addressing, by ignoring mental health, the cost to the Australian economy is about $10.9 billion per year. So there's sort of a lot that can be recovered by just creating mentally healthy workplaces and starting the conversation in the workplace.
Mm. There's a bit of an issue with stigmatisation, people with mental health or people that might be judged to be mentally ill and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of that around.
Yeah, look, I think we've come a long way. So Beyond Blue started back in 2000, and certainly there wasn't a great deal of conversation happening around depression, let alone anxiety, back in 2000. But we've come in leaps and bounds since then. It really is a much more acknowledged thing. I think it's something that still is hard to communicate to people that might have sort of those views that don't necessarily match the reality. But you know, this is what Beyond Blue is all about. It's about creating that conversation, getting it out in the open, and encouraging people to look at their mental health just as they would their physical health. You know, everyone wants to lead a happy, healthy life and be a productive member of society. And mental health is so important to making that happen. So I think we also know that, you know, there might be a little bit of stigma here and there, but by and large, it's the self-stigma, people's own sort of internalised, you know, no, this shouldn't be happening to me. It's that's often worse than anything that they encounter actually out in the community.
All right. Well, tell us again where people can go if they want to make a phone call or a website.
Yep. So to make a phone call, the number is 1-300-224-636. And the website is www.beyondblue.org.au. If you go to the website, you can web chat or send us an email if you don't want to make the call. We're here, and there's a lot of great resources on the website. There's great online forums happening, lots of videos and information and checklists and all that sort of thing. So I encourage your listeners to take a look and, you know, Have a read and learn, you know, so that you might be able to identify if someone close to you isn't doing so well. It's always it's good general knowledge just to have.
Most certainly. Is there anything else you need to tell us? Would like to tell us?
George, just thanks for having us on, Tiger, and hope to see a few of your listeners out with Roadshow Ron at some point.
I'm sure somebody will front up and say they're a 98.9 listener. Don't worry.
Fantastic. Thanks so much.
Well, good luck with the rest of the tour, and great talking to you.
Thanks, Tiger.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Yes, that's Kimberly Nichols, Beyond Blue, the Roadshow Marketing Manager. And they've got their buses known as Rhonda. But during the month of November, considering that November is known as Movember, to raise the awareness of men's mental health and well-being, they call the bus Roadshow Ron instead of Roadshow Rhonda for that month. A recent report co-authored by Dr. Tom Kelmer, where Tom Kelmer states that mental health services for Aboriginal Australians are both inadequate and inappropriate, and there are immediate changes are required to address the growing rates of suicide, depression and other mental health issues. among Indigenous youth. The report is part of the Close the Gap initiative, and goes on to say that the rate of suicides in the First Nations community is 3 times higher than in the mainstream. And I've just got a report in this morning saying that an 11-year-old boy in Geraldton hung himself in the last 24 hours or so. It's so damn sad when you hear these. It's devastating. It is devastating to hear reports like that. You've got to wonder, you know, what is it? What is so wrong in the world of one so young that forces them to take their own lives? It's a hell of a thing to deal with. And, I think one of the biggest issues is there's the lack of a coordinated approach in dealing with these sorts of issues. It's not just any one thing. It's just like I was reading another report saying that a key thing, one of the key measures for closing the gap in the life expectancy of adult First Nations people is nutrition. Well, yeah, nutrition's one of those things, but before you can get into nutrition, you've got to get into the home environment, you've got to get into education, you've got to get into a few things. So there's no one thing. It's got to be a coordinated approach. I mean, with closing the gap on health or on the lifespan of First Nations adults, it's all of those things, like I've said. It's home environment, employment or income into the household, number of people in the household, the education, how well educated, how well people understand about nutrition and how well they understand the issues with mainstream diets. And some of those issues, you know, just reading the labels on some of the food, understanding that, there's a whole range of things. And that's what Tom Kalmer goes on to say in his report also, is that there needs to be a coordinated approach. And when he says the statistics of suicide in among First Nation people are 3 times higher than mainstream, that screams out for a coordinated approach. It screams out for something to be done. Because whatever's been done in the past, whatever little funding has been put aside, is not good enough. And rather than cutting the budget in health promotions and areas like that, which the federal government has recently done, that's just intolerable. That's just big shame job on the part of the federal government. It's outrageous that they go in and do that. We are the sickest people in this country. You can look at the statistics. We live less. We don't live as long. It's about 15 years less. It's nowhere near 9 or 10 years. That's just rubbish. They're rubbish figures, I believe. I don't have any. I give them any credibility at all for anyone to stand up and say, oh, it's only 9 years. It is much more than 9 years. And in some places across the country, people are in their early 40s and dying. That's the average lifespan, early 40s for some people in some parts of this country. I mean, that is outrageous. So, you know, if this was a situation within the settler society, within mainstream Australia, there would be an outcry. There would be a big campaign where all the specialists and experts available would be put onto it and told to get something right here, make some changes, work out what the issues are. We're not seeing that with First Nations people. But like Kalmer says, there needs to be a more coordinated approach. You can't do this sort of business, or any business really, and in a siloed approach, treat things as individual sorts of issues. There are many contributing factors, and like with education, many contributing factors, like the relevance in the classroom of what's being taught, like the home environment. Again, the home environment has a big impact. It has a lot to say, a lot to do with how people cope, whether it's in education, whether it's in health. But with education, it comes back to the number of people that live in the house, the relevance of what's being taught in classrooms, the particular jobs available in the community where people live and go to school, whether there's jobs available that people might be able to aspire to take up after they've gone through to year 10, 12, whatever it might be. There's a whole range of things. But to hear the news of this 11-year-old boy found hanging in Geraldton, to read that report this morning is just devastating. See some comments and things on social media. Noel Pearson's speech at Gough Whitlam's service, rating pretty highly amongst a lot of people. I only heard bits and pieces of it and thought it was a good speech. But isn't it sad he's also one of the better known bullies in the country as well, publicly bullying people. I mean, it's just outrageous how a man so highly regarded in mainstream Australia and with politicians and with the media, the media that largely goes unreported within the mainstream media. But there are numerous examples of the bullying and the abuse of people by Noel Pearson. The man is capable. I heard some of him is capable of presenting a great speech. But he must also be capable of changing his ways a bit, and no need to be the bully that he's proven to be. That's rather sad that one so smart and so highly regarded within the mainstream, he's not so highly regarded with First Nations people at all, because people know what the man is like, and the fact that there's massive amounts of money to be made by Noel and his companies off the suffering of First Nations people, off the predicament, off the dysfunction or the disadvantage of First Nations people, hundreds of millions of dollars for Cape York trial programs and different things, and the total population of First Nations people in Cape York would be lucky to be 3,000 people, 3,500 people. So, I'm just plucking figures out of the air there. But there's not a lot of people, not a lot of First Nations people, or even mainstream Australians for that matter, but a big lot of money going into for Noel to do his trials. And then there's, of course, the one that he got $5 million for with the communities putting together a thing for I can't even think of the name, communities. It's people like this that tend to say what the government wants to hear, and then money's thrown in like there's no end to it. Not good. Empowered communities. You wait, you're going to see some more on empowered communities, because it's really not about empowering people. It's about keeping people disempowered. It really is. And having mission managers in control. It's not empowered communities. It's not about controlling your own destinies. But you'll hear more of it, more about this in time to come. Here's a song by Roger Knox. Well, we've got a caller on the line. Let's see who we have. Welcome to Let's Talk. Who we got? Hello there.
How are you?
Who have we got? What's your name?
I'm Bernice from Cairns.
Bernice, how are you, Bernice?
Good. Hey, listen, just what you're saying, tragic, okay, about that child.
Mm.
But, you know, one of the things that we Australians do not have to protect us against, like what you're talking about, it's just cronyism, isn't it? But we Australians do not have a Bill of Rights.
Mm.
And Tony Abbott, do you know this proposed changes they wanted to do in the constitutional recognition of Aboriginal people into the Charter of Rights and Racial Discrimination, right? Well, because they wanted to introduce that, they found out that it could possibly become like a de facto Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Abbott, I don't care which government you're talking about, John Howard was the same, do not want the people of Australia to have a Bill of Rights. We're the only country in the so-called civilised world that does not have a Bill of Rights. Now, you say, oh, what's the Bill of Rights going to do? Well, if you read about the founding fathers of America and their Declaration of Independence, you will see that the founding fathers of America did not trust the government. And that's what their constitution is all about. That's why, you know, you hear them going on about gun laws. It's not about the guns. It's about unravelling your constitutional rights. And we don't have any. There's no protection. Look, everything I hear with Aboriginal people, it's all about breaching their Bill of Rights.
Mm, mm.
They have no constitutional rights because the government keeps changing the goalposts. Look, I looked up on the internet yesterday how much money the New South Wales government had collected on that taxes. There was $500 million sitting there.
Yeah.
$500 million. And they changed the goalposts and so that the Aboriginal community couldn't get at that money.
Yeah.
They're mongrels, mate, mongrels.
They certainly are.
You know, and it's about time Australians woke up to the fact that whatever they do to the least of you, they're going to do to the greater. And the reason why they're doing this is, wake up, Australia. We do not have a Bill of Rights. They can sell a country off to all these bloody mining companies. They can dig big holes in the ground. They can leave it a pit and never be accountable because the Australian people do not have a Bill of Rights. We have no protection against what politicians do to us. These guys go off to the UN and sign off on all these agreements, but they don't honour them because they don't have to, because we don't have a Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard what you were saying about Gough Whitlam, mate. I spew. I just think it's nauseating hearing people talk about this man who brought about some of the biggest changes in this country, and one of them was quangos.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you're talking about this particular person with millions of dollars going into an account? Quangos. And who gave the birth to quangos? The Labor Party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all they've ever done is divide and conquer this nation. It's despicable. And we, the Australian people, we must be, I don't know what's wrong with us. We keep voting for Tweedledee and Tweedledum and keep getting served up the same bowl of vomit. You know, what is wrong with us?
Yeah, well, it's hard to find an alternative. We can certainly shy away from the two major political parties and go with the go with others, Democrats.
We need to set up, like they did in England, an independent party of Australia.
Mm.
They call them the Mad Hatters and the Crazies, the Loonies over there. They've just turned around and taken something like 38% of the vote away from the major parties because people are sick to death of being ripped off.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to unravel our constitution. What little constitution we do have, that Section 51 of the Constitution impacts on everybody in this country. It impacts on your dole payments, your pensions, your education, everything. And they're in there unravelling it without putting it a referendum to the people. Do we want these changes?
Yep.
And they can do it.
They can do it, and largely
they can do it because
unnoticed,
we do not have a Bill of Rights.
Yeah. Okay, then. Thank you very much for your call.
Thanks,
Bernice.
Tiger.
You have a good one. It's time for me to go. I hope you all have a great weekend. You join us on Monday on your local First Nations station for Let's Talk.